Now, the Jesus we find in this text is at once distressed and frustrated. After all, the text we read, his hour had come, a time when everything he had previously predicted about his arrest, his suffering, his crucifixion, and his death was beginning to come to pass. He told the disciples in chapter 8 that the Son of Man would undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and rise again in 3 days. In chapter 10, he told the 12 the same thing one more time, but he added that he would be handed over to the Gentiles, mocked, spit upon, flogged, and killed. He was distressed because he fully understood the magnitude of the suffering he was about to endure. But he was frustrated because the people closest to him, the men with whom he had spent every day of the last 3 years of his life, seemed not to understand or care. Now, let's be clear, this is not the first time in the book of Mark that the disciples seem to be a bit clueless. Though Jesus repeatedly taught them that being great leaders meant serving rather than being served, they didn't get it. And though he tried to teach them that wealth was not always a sign of righteousness or godly blessedness, they didn't seem to be able to comprehend it. And though he tried to teach them that if they have faith, they could heal the sick and feed the hungry and positively affect the lives of people in their communities, but they didn't seem to understand it. Then he showed them through his example the importance of speaking truth to power, but they didn't seem to quite grasp that. And though he taught them that meeting the needs of people was more important than preserving long-held traditions, they didn't seem to get that either. Yes, they were just clueless. Now, we can bash the disciples. I've heard preachers do that in sermons. They just bash these disciples as just clueless. And sometimes we talk about them and we say, well, if we had been in the very presence of Christ, oh, it would have been different, right? Yeah, see, if we had been in Christ's presence every day for 3 years, we would have been different than those disciples. Oh, we would have gladly embodied all of Christ's examples, is that right? We would have embraced all of his teachings and his preaching. Oh, we would have been stellar in all of our ways. That's what we would say. But let me disabuse us of that notion. You see, though Jesus is not physically walking among us, he is nevertheless present with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And so even with the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are as clueless as the disciples. Because some of us still don't get that being great leaders means serving rather than being served. We still don't get that. And some of us don't understand that wealth is not always a sign of righteousness or some type of godly blessedness. And some of us don't get that if we have enough faith, oh, we can move mountains, you see. We can provide healing for the sick and food for the hungry and positively affect the lives of people in our communities. And some of us just can't comprehend that meeting the needs of the people is more important than preserving long-held traditions. Oh, we like our traditions, don't we? We've always done it that way, right? Famous last words, right? So no, we can't bash the disciples. We are the disciples. And in a time when Jesus was about to be arrested, convicted, crucified, and buried, Jesus needed his disciples to be actively engaged in what was going on around them. You see, Jesus understood his fate, yet he wanted the support of his friends in this tremendous hour of need. But rather than keeping awake, they kept falling asleep. Indeed, we read in the scriptures that Jesus, when Jesus came and woke them up, he did that not just once, not even just twice, but three times. We like threes in the Bible, don't we? Three times. The Greek term translated here, keep awake, can also mean watch, pay strict attention to, or just do something. Okay? After the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, the term stay woke was coined in cooperation with the Black Lives Matter movement. Stay woke is different than keep awake. In addition to meaning watching, giving strict attention to, or just doing something, stay woke includes a healthy skepticism of the powers that be. It calls for a hermeneutic of suspicion of the status quo. So just because authorities say something does not mean it's true. And just because a practice has been approved in the halls of power doesn't make it right. So if we look deeply into this text, we find human behaviors that those who coined the phrase, stay woke, warned us about. From the beginning of his ministry, Jesus threatened the authority of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. The people listened to Jesus, and they revered his teaching. They were in awe of his miraculous healing powers that none of the other religious leaders possessed. Jesus's very presence and ministry threatened to undermine the ecclesial authority and power, so Jesus had to go. But I want to be clear that when it came time for the religious authorities to hand Jesus over to the Romans, they did not do so by admitting their own insecurities. No, they couldn't just confess that. And they did not confess that Jesus, by his very presence, heightened their own senses of inadequacy. They didn't do that. And they did not publicly acknowledge their fear of losing authority and power. Rather, they trumped up charges to put the onus on Jesus rather than their own failings. They planted fake news stories. We know something about that. By soliciting people to give false testimony so Jesus would be convicted on false charges. So perhaps the phrase translated keep awake in this text is better translated stay woke. Yes, the disciples needed to watch, to give strict attention to do something. But perhaps there were some additional lessons, some other important lessons, some very valuable lessons that Jesus wanted these disciples to learn. Maybe he wanted to prepare them for the situations in their lives to come and not just for the moment that was. Maybe Jesus wanted the disciples to understand the inner workings of religious politics. Now, some of us know a little something about that. Maybe he wanted them to understand that sometimes religious leaders who claim to be holy can and do behave in unholy ways. Maybe Jesus wanted them to be able to exegete their context as well as their scriptures. Maybe he wanted them to learn that power concedes nothing without a struggle. Maybe he wanted them to understand that sometimes people in power will hold on to their power with every means necessary, legal and illegal, legitimate and totally bogus, real and fake. Maybe Jesus wanted them to stay woke so that they could learn real life lessons that would benefit them and his followers for years to come. But if Jesus really wanted a group of disciples who could stay woke, it seems like he chose the wrong ones. In this text, Jesus left the disciples to go and pray three times, and each time he returned, he found them not only not watching, not only not giving strict attention to the situation going on around them, but he caught them actually, literally, sleeping. And he was so frustrated that after he caught them sleeping a third time, he said, enough, the hour has come. Now, on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, this seemed to be a day when many in this nation said, "Enough, the hour has come." Now, many of us had been asleep, content to let other people fight political battles, unwilling to get engaged in politics on a local, state, or federal level, unfamiliar with the process of reading bills and lobbying our legislators. But on January 20th, there was a chorus of people saying, "Enough, the hour has come." The hour has come for us to step up rather than lay back. The hour has come for us to speak out against injustice rather than remaining silent. The hour has come for us who know nothing about politics to take the time to learn. The hour has come for us who have conceded our agency for justice making to take it up again. We recognize that we can no longer afford to sit back and hope that someone else will advocate on our behalf. Oh, we recognize, you see, that we realize that we can only preserve the best of our democracy through active and sustained resistance. Resistance to horrible policies, resistance to dangerous political nominations and appointments, resistance to laws that threaten to undo progress made in civil rights struggles of the past. President Trump has managed to do something in his very short time as president that many people have never been able to do. He has disturbed the contented, inspired the apathetic, he has engaged the uninterested, he has aroused the indifferent, and he has motivated the previously uncommitted to watch, pay strict attention to, and finally do something with a healthy hermeneutic of suspicion. Now, there are, and I must say this, there are many activists and people who have been suffering at the hand of injustice for a long time who are raising some very good questions. People who have been fighting various civil rights battles over the years, who are asking questions about the surge of activism. They want to know, where was all this energy when African Americans were suffering discrimination and oppression of various forms? Where was all this will for civic engagement when Asian Americans, Native Americans, Latina and Latino Americans were being marginalized and oppressed? Where was all this commitment to justice when women were being victimized by violence? Where were all these mass protests when people were being killed and still are being killed by gun violence? Good questions, right? Very good questions. They have a valid point, and we can undoubtedly learn much about ourselves if we take time to reflect on these questions. We can reflect on our own motivations and engage in sustained discussion. And if we become too bogged down in the unfortunate, severely damaging omissions of the past, we may miss this great opportunity in the present positively impact our future. So we must continue to say, at this moment in our history, enough, the hour has come. However we got here, the hour has come. Whatever caused us to finally wake up, we're awake now, the hour has come. I wish I could tell you that after Jesus told the disciples enough, the hour had come, that they got it together. I wish I could say that. I wish I could tell you that they stayed woke and they rallied to his side. I wish I could tell you that they stepped up to the plate and they met all of the challenges being presented to them. But we know better, right? We know the story. Judas went on to betray him. Peter denied him not once or even twice, but how many times? That's something else, right? And Jesus was arrested, physically abused, crucified, and buried. But thank God, this is not the end of the story. Now, I told you I was going to Good Friday. Might as well go to Easter. I know we are just 3 days into Lent, but spoiler alert, he arose. he rose with all power in his hands. And because he rose with all power, we have the power. We have the power to not only wake up, we have the power to stay woke. So I ask you today, Louisville Seminary, are we willing to stay woke? Are we willing to watch? Are we willing to give strict attention to what is happening in the world around us? Are we willing to do something about the situations and circumstances of the world in which we live? Are we willing to apply a healthy skepticism, a hermeneutic of suspicion to our world by challenging powers that harm rather than help, that impede rather than promote what is best for all of the people? Stay woke. Stay woke as the administration tries to reinstate private prisons. Stay woke as Congress deliberates Russian ties to this administration. Stay woke as our lawmakers develop new immigration policies. Stay woke as state and local politicians try to continue to roll back voting rights all over this country. Stay woke as the administration tries to create regressive education policies. Stay woke for new strategies that attempt to negatively impact fair housing. Stay woke as Congress tries to roll back health care for millions. Stay woke as politics threatens to further divide this country rather than unite it. Stay woke on state and local levels. Stay woke on issues like criminal justice reform and nuclear waste disposal. Stay woke because we are true disciples of Christ. Stay woke because we have learned that from the failings of the first disciples and from our own experiences that when we fall asleep, we let down the one who sacrificed so much for us. When we fall asleep, people we should care about can suffer and die. When we fall asleep, we let down the one who has given us everything we need to carry on the work he began for us and in us. So stay woke, not just because everyone else is woke now. Stay woke, not just because right now being woke is popular. Stay woke because we are disciples of Christ. Stay woke because we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Is that right? Not just today, but every day. Stay woke because all of humanity are our neighbors. Stay woke because Jesus taught us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Stay woke because our neighbors need to hear our voices. Stay woke because our neighbors need our support. Stay woke because our neighbors need to see and feel our commitments to their well-being. Stay woke because being woke is the only way we can fulfill our calls. And stay woke because if we fall asleep, we may miss the opportunity to bear witness to the one who called each and every one of us. Louisville Seminary, guest, and those considering becoming a part of our community, let us commit from now and forevermore, not just to wake up, but to stay woke. Amen?
Amen. Amen.